At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
0-2 to Abreu. He's 0-2 tonight, but he's hit it hard. He drives one high and deep into right center field towards the Red Sox bullpen. It is back in. It is off the top of the wall, and it caroms into center field. This could be an inside-the-park homer. Abreu runs third. He gets the go-ahead. He comes home. Head first slide. Inside-the-park homer for Willier Abreu.
Oh, what a night for the Red Sox last night, Mego. Inside the Parker, grand salami for Willier Abreu. Red Sox score 13 runs. Total coincidence that Jaron Duran looked like he was pointing something out from the starting pitcher last night, Chase Burns, with the offense waking up and scoring seven before they could even get through the first inning. Was it seven with one out or two outs?
It was one. Yeah, he made a third of an inning.
Thank you. Before they pulled Chase Burns last night. 13 more runs. They scored 15 on Saturday. They've won a couple. If you want to look on the bright side, Mego, you know I normally do. They've won two out of three with a lot of runs in those games. Is it possible the offense is pulling out of their funk and turning things around? And if so, why?
Why do you ask it that way?
What do you mean?
Why? There's just something curious going on there. It's not anything nefarious. Mm-hmm. Like, if you see a pitcher tipping pitches, it's well within reason to go out and say, this is what he's doing. He's squeezing his glove before he's doing X. Doesn't make anybody on the other team happy.
It's not
a bona fide cheating scandal.
It's not banging on a garbage
tipping.
Can.
He's a kid who doesn't know how to hide it.
Fine. It's not banging on a garbage can. It's not an Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not sustainable. Like if you're picking up on another pitcher tipping his pitches. I love this quote from Francona after the game. Francona was asked about how Burns getting knocked around last night. He says Cora's one of the best at that, meaning...
It's a little bit of a shot.
Picking up on... Exactly.
It's a little bit of a shot
and,
there.
And, you know, Francona knows. He managed him.
He's really got an eye for that kind of thing.
He said they were certainly ready, they were coming out hacking, and they were squaring it up pretty good. I'll say... So, fine. It's not a full-blown cheating scandal. I'm needling
blown,
a little
it's
bit.
It's not half of a cheating scandal. It's just a little bit of an awkward look that the other manager says... He has a knack for that.
Yeah.
He sure does know how to pick out those when he's tipping.
And
he's sure got an eye for what's happening on the mound out there.
And, you know, I would say that's not sustainable. If that's why they teed off offensively, and if you want to be fair, they scored seven runs against Burns, mm-hmm. albeit all very quickly. They still scored six after he came out of the game.
So it's not rob Abreu of his night.
It's not like they did nothing offensively against other pitchers, but the bulk of their offense came when this kid's out there tipping pitches. I would just say that's not sustainable.
And it's all connected, because what have we been saying all season? That Garrett Crochet needs run support. So then when he gets a lot of run support early, it frees him up to be a little bit more aggressive out there and to move it along. And so I think it is all connected. Is it sustainable? Can you repeat it? Maybe if you're going up against another kid who doesn't know what he's showing from, like, literally right off the bat. So I don't think that they discovered something. They discovered what that kid shows on the mound. And other than that, I don't think it's like, okay, now they're rolling. Now they're going to have this great offense that everybody expected.
So you don't think the offense is turning it around?
No. I think that I don't want to take anything away from last night. I just don't think it's replicable. I think it was a scenario, and you can look at Cora and say, awkwardly, that's one of the things that he does well. Great. They got a win last night. Is that something that they're going to trot out every single night? I just don't think so. I think that you're not going to be in that specific scenario.
So one reason I would say it's possible they're turning it around. Possible, Mego. Mm-hmm.
You'll allow for it.
I'll allow for it. Anthony looks like he belongs all of a sudden. Because I was really starting to roll my eyes at, well, it's a really good at bat. And boy, he looks really comfortable in there. He looks like he belongs. Like, I'm at a certain point when you're hitting 74 or whatever he was hitting.
You're a numbers guy. You're like, the numbers don't show it.
Well, I'm not
reading the body language.
At some point, I do need production. Like, I can only say that for so long. His first game, fine. He looked like he belonged. I agreed. He went 0 for whatever it was in his first game, but he looked right and he looked like he belonged. I'll allow for that. When we're going on a few weeks and there's zero production, I get a little tired of hearing it. But the batting average is over 200 now. He's over the Mendoza line.
Okay.
210. He has multiple hits in three straight. He had three against the Jays with a couple of doubles. And then back-to-back two-hit games, all singles, against Toronto and Cincinnati. He had a double the game prior against Toronto, four-game hitting streak. Like, if he's going to start hitting, that's a way to turn the offense around. And I know he's not out there yet, but Bregman spoke with reporters before the game, says there's a chance he could play before the All-Star break. He's getting closer to playing.
Ooh.
So if you get Bregman back and Anthony's going to finally wake up and start hitting, isn't that a way to turn the offense around?
Yeah, and if Jaron Duran wakes up a little bit more, then maybe you really have something there. But at the same time, I think if you're looking at Anthony, I know you said that he has some production in some other games going back to the Blue Jay series. But again, I just think I don't want to throw out last night because I don't think that's fair. I would just say from an offensive perspective, if you're looking at last night and saying, well, look, if they can do that on any given night, it's not any given night. It's the situation that they were in. And to the texter's line, tipping pitches is the pitcher's fault, not cheating at all. Yeah, totally agree. You faced a young, inexperienced pitcher who doesn't have control of that. And so you took advantage of it, like, awkwardly. Kudos to Cora on that. Great. Are you going to do that in a series, every series going forward? No. Otherwise, you would have done it. Like, you did it, you got into a scrap with the Angels over a similar thing. It just doesn't happen that often where it's that aggressively easy to tell.
I like this text as well. Reading tip pitches is fine, but it doesn't mean you're good.
No, like, it doesn't. Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's a guy, right. But that kind of sums up how I feel. Like, it is borderline. Like, if you got to stoop to it, you got to stoop to it. Like,
what do you mean?
How good are you really?
You're playing on the margins there.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And look, with the way the Red Sox are going, pull out all the stops, Cora. Whatever.
You want to know what Cora does for the team. This is the kind of thing that he gives them an edge in.
You know what, Mego?
Even Francona's standing there saying, nobody reads pitches being tipped like Alex Cora. That guy just has an eye for that kind of
thing. You know what, Mego? Fair. I'll stand down. I want to know what Alex Cora does. This is what the man does. So if you want to push the margins and you want to win games and this is what Cora's good at, pull out all the stops and all the cheating scandals you want.
This is where he's really communicated his message to the team, because you get Jaron Duran out there going like, oh, skipper, I see something. I see something. I say something. This is the leadership there.
No, I think that's fair. Another text here. Red Sox do this. They hit for one game and disappear. Don't get fooled. Well, I'm just telling, it's now two times in the last three. So maybe that's random. I thought the Toronto series, we talked about this yesterday. I thought the Toronto series kind of summed up what they are, where they had a scoring differential for the series, but they lost the series. Just like on the year, they have a positive scoring differential, which should be predictive of more wins to come, right? You're a better team than you've shown is the idea of scoring differential. But somehow, as of yesterday, they were three games under 500. So I thought the Toronto series summed it up. if they're going to start clustering games like this together a couple of times, 15 the other day, 13 last night, tip pitches be damned.
Okay, but if you're not winning series, who cares?
Okay, no, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, now it's two times in the last three games. Let's see if the offense starts picking up. And I'll allow for Anthony waking up,
yeah,
getting the offense going. Abreu's return is getting the offense. He's been on the IL for a chunk of time. He comes back, he has a game like that.
Twitch chat says, is this real life? The manager shouldn't point out tells. We're not saying that. We're just saying that other managers saying that's his thing.
Yeah.
That's Cora's calling card.
I'll just say it's on brand for Cora, and Francona agrees. Again, Cora is one of the best at that. They were certainly ready. They were coming out hacking, and they were squaring it up pretty good. Francona's annoyed. Like, and they're annoyed. They're like, oh, great, this guy's stupid to his crap again, his nonsense again. It's not illegal. No one's asking him to be suspended. But it's like, oh, great, that's how Alex Cora has to beat us. He has to work hard on identifying tip pitches as opposed to actually beating us straight up. So Francona's annoyed, and I don't think it's sustainable. For one game, great. But you're going to need more than tip pitches to turn the offense around. And I'm trying to give you examples of why I think the offense could turn it around. Abreu's return, Bregman's on the horizon, Anthony's waking up. All right, maybe the offense is going to turn it around even without Rafi Devers.
Yeah, I think that's totally legit. I just wouldn't look at last night and say this now shows that not only has the offense, the bats woken up, but that they're going to start scoring in meaningful points of the game. Because that's really what the run differential is about. Yeah, they can score in these huge chunks like we've seen, but it's largely when it's a meaningless point in the game. When you have guys that get constantly stranded on third and you're trying to stay in the game or get back into it, for whatever reason, a lot of times you're not able to do that.
No, I think that's fair. And they have to be better.
I think what another positive is that you finally have, to use the Red Sox word, alignment on a game where Crochet is starting and you have run support. And it wasn't even a great night by him.
No, I mean, Crochet started great. The first three innings or whatever it was, he looked unreal. And then he was very, very eminently hittable. I mean, Rafaela almost made an incredible catch deep into the triangle in center field that could have bailed him out. But that would have been a very, very difficult catch. So, no, you needed it last night because Crochet, by his standards, was hittable. 8 base runners in 6 innings and 5 runs, 4 earned. So that's not been the standard that we've seen out of Crochet. I want to get to Bregman, his timeline, and some comments he had about what Scott Boras had to say last week, a potential extension here in Boston. Quick flurry of NBA updates, though, and some are going back to the end of last hour. Not very surprising. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 4-year extension with OKC. 285 Supermax, 285 million, I should say, Supermax to stay with the Thunder through 2031.
Did he ever get an agent? Was he with an agent or no? Because remember, that was the whole thing where it was like, why would you have an agent if you're getting a Supermax anyway?
Good question.
Like, what is the point of negotiating that?
I'm sure you want to firm up like some of the language in your deal, but in terms of the money, I agree with that. You don't need an agent to negotiate a Supermax. We all know what it is. It's predetermined. Now, you know, some of the language and protection in the contract you probably want.
Yeah, because he parted ways with Thad Foucher.
Thad Foucher.
Of course. Thad Foucher.
Rough look for him. Old friend Gershon Yabusele is back in the NBA. 2 years, $12 million with the Knicks.
2 years, $12 million with the Knicks.
What can the Celtics do on the non-taxpayer mid-level or whatever they have available to them? It's like 5 and change.
Yeah, it's
so
not
like
a lot.
That's a player you could have brought in. My guy Kayvon Looney signed yesterday. Like, there are a bunch of guys on like those 2-year $12 million deals.
Celtics, that's not really who I want.
No, but I'm just saying Celtics could have been in the mix on those type of players. And then here's a big one. You just mentioned the Bucks. Miles Turner.
Whoa.
4 years, $107 million to sign with the Bucks, plus a player option. He's got a full trade kicker, et cetera, et cetera. He is leaving Indiana. Mm-hmm. So Indiana's going to be way down. No Halliburton. Turner's gone. And if they're signing a player like Turner, to your point, I'd imagine Giannis isn't going anywhere.
No, that means they're trying to get back into it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to do some kind of crazy trade with Damian Lillard, if they can find somebody else who's trying to offload somebody kind of equal on their books and just swap that. That might be beneficial to both those teams in that scenario.
Okay, so there's an NBA update. We'll get to some tiers coming up on a Tier Tuesday. Yard games. Think horseshoes, cornhole, sprinkler out in the yard. Things like this. We're going to get to it,
Holy
Mego.
Holy.
Holy board. We're going to get to it in Tier Tuesday coming up. Meantime, I've referenced this a couple of times. Alex Bregman spoke before the game. He talked on the field on Sunday with Tom Caron, and then he did like a full media scrum in the dugout yesterday. This is Bregman on his potential timeline for a return.
Do you feel like you could be back ahead of the All-Star break?
Possibly.
Possibly. We'll see. Today was really good, so we'll see what the group said. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because today was the best it's been, but we'll just got to see how we come out of it tomorrow and everything like that. But could be here soon. We'll see.
Okay. Your read on that, Mego. Is he coming back before the All-Star break?
I guess we have to see. Is what I take away from that.
I'll tell you, those comments read better than they sound. Listen, hearing him, and that's the first time I've heard it. I saw the one from Bradfoe yesterday. It was almost impossible to hear. No offense to Bradfoe, but the audio was almost impossible to hear. Nick found a cleaned up version there. Those comments read a hell of a lot better than they sounded because he's like, "Hey, will you be back before the All-Star break? Possibly, sure. Maybe anything's possible. I could come back before the All-Star break. We'll see."
Anything's possible is never positive unless it's KG saying it.
Yeah. Now, it does make me feel a little better about him being ready to go in the second half.
Like, Jones, if you went into the office and asked for a raise and the response was anything's possible.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really sound positive.
Well, it's not closing the door because I've definitely been told no plenty of times on things like that. So that's
but
not closing the door.
Possible.
Possibly.
You're saying there's a chance?
Yeah. Yeah. You're telling me there's a chance.
Okay.
Yeah. This is, you know, when I would ask girls to prom in high school. How'd that go?
No.
Oh!
No, that was okay, so that's true. That's true. That's true.
Possibly.
When I asked Kat to marry me, what was her answer?
No.
Oh, come on.
How many times you had to
possibly
ask?
How many times did I have to ask Kat?
Yeah.
I had to feel it out.
Seven!
I had to feel it out before I actually went through with it.
Seven times the charm.
So I feel worse hearing that than reading that, to be honest. I do think that Bregman, I feel a little better about him being ready to go to start the second half. Because what Cora had said prior is, well, you know, we think he's going to be ready after the All-Star break. Or we're hoping he's ready before the All-Star, or after the All-Star break. And I'm like, oh, is he not going to be ready? I want him ready that first game.
Yeah, you're starting to go, okay, we're talking about August.
Correct. Because if he's not ready that first game, then we're basically up against the trade deadline and it's almost August. And now this thing's really lingered. And I'm not questioning anything with Bregman, though I know some are. But I was just hoping he'd be back way sooner than this. This is dragging more than I expected. He also was asked about Boris's comments from last week that they're willing to listen on a contract extension. Bregman said yesterday, quote, "We're open to listening on anything that they have to say." He followed that up with, "It's definitely a high priority to get a long-term deal in place." The one thing I will say that maybe I was overlooking, because I don't think he's going to opt out. I think he's going to not get offered more than the $40 million AAV that he has. I don't think he's going to get a better deal than he has. He didn't have a deal that he wanted last year. He's another year older, and he's been hurt. Now, he was wildly productive this year while he was playing, but he's another year older, and he's been hurt. I don't think teams that were afraid to pay him a year ago are going to be lining up to pay him, but he does prioritize a long-term deal. So if a team's going to throw a guaranteed long-term deal at him, maybe he would have some eyes for it. I don't think he's going to get more short-term annually, but maybe he would prioritize the security. He also said, quote, "I expected to love playing here," meaning Boston, "and I've definitely loved playing here. It's a great place to play baseball. Being able to play for this organization is awesome. My expectations were all very positive, and it's definitely lived up to those positive expectations." I don't know that it's gone exactly how he envisioned it going here in Boston since they've underachieved, but he's not saying anything bad about the Red Sox. Do these comments change your perspective on the discussion about Bregman yesterday whatsoever?
So we talked about my stances. I really just want them to extend him, rework something, get him here in a long-term, more guaranteed deal. You think that they should call his bluff because he's not going to be as desirable, even maybe as he was last offseason, because he's been injured and he's older. It doesn't really affect anything for me. Like, when I hear him say that, does that make me think that the Red Sox have more leverage in this situation? Not really.
No, him saying he...
He sounds more amenable than maybe I would have expected him to be publicly.
Him saying my priority, or it's a priority to have a long-term deal, gives me a little more pause than I had yesterday. Like, I'm a little more fearful of it than yesterday. I'd still call his bluff. No one was lining up to give you a long-term deal last offseason. Why would they now? Would be my question. And if you lose him because, as you said, Mego, they're pretty bad at reading the market for some of these guys, then I'm sure I'd rip him for that. But that's the way I'd play it in the meantime.
Do you think there's any way that
because he can opt out and you can still sign him to a long-term deal in the offseason. You can still do that.
I don't know if he's this manipulative. Do you think that there's any way that he's reading the temperature of the fan base in saying, I love it here, basically saying a love letter to playing in Boston, but saying that he wants the longer guaranteed deal, knowing that maybe there's some leverage for him in being somebody that they can actually have fans excited for a bobblehead over, or like actually buy a jersey of.
It's a good
and
question.
Him saying, like, I really want to be here, guys. I want to grow old and gray here. This is where I want to, I've always wanted to play for the Red Sox. They won't give me the long guaranteed deal. Like, I wonder if that's a little bit of a play.
I don't think he's that calculated, but I'll tell you who might be that calculated is Boris.
Representation.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's why SGA should look back into getting an agent.
Perhaps. Now, a couple of items here. Number one, you just mentioned Damian Lillard. What will they do with him?
Uh-oh, what?
The Bucks have waived him. And
wow.
They're going to use the stretch provision on the remaining $113 million to spread that out over five seasons to give them some cap relief, which none of us are worried about. Lillard has been released, though, by the Bucks, probably to make room for Miles Turner to sign.
I would guess that they had been shopping him around for a little bit, trying to see if there was some kind of swap that would make sense for them.
And then we have news on the Bruins as well. I don't know if it rises to breaking news level.
A fourth liner, not really, no.
Okay, it does not. Victor Arvidsson, Bruins have dealt for him. We mentioned they need some depth. He had a 27-point season last year for Edmonton. Early in his career, he was a player.
How old is he?
He is going to be 32, it looks like.
Okay.
Hang on. Efforting. Victor Arvidsson is already 32. He'll be 33 next day. So he'll turn 33 late in the season. He already is 32. Early in his career, a couple of 30-goal seasons, a couple of 60-point seasons when he was in Nashville. He spent last year with Edmonton. He had a stint with the Kings in between. So he's probably a fourth-line player, it sounds like. I was looking up his contract, Nick, quick. I think he signed a 2-year, $8 million deal with Edmonton, so I think he has $4 million left. So that's a big chunk of your cap space.
Yeah.
If I have the numbers right. Now, it's a trade. Is Edmonton retaining any salary? I don't know. Again, fill in the gaps for me if I'm missing anything. I'm trying to catch up to this on the fly.
He had no trade, they might have eaten some money to get rid of him.
Okay. So, right. Maybe it's not the full $4 million that at least I'm seeing on his contract. But that is what it looks like to me.
That makes me worried about who they're going to sign for.
Well,
like
if you have 13 million,
third line, then
if you have 13 million and you're spending
four of it,
if it's that much, again, Edmonton could retain some salary.
Really tight there.
That's a lot to spend on a fourth line.
When the free agency market is where it is, and you're going to have to probably get in a bidding war with at least one other team, like that puts you in a little bit of a tight spot.
But
that
Bruins,
makes me worried that they're going to be doing a couple of those. $3 to $4 million deals in which I go, yeah, this is smelly. No,
right.
No, thank you. Smelly, no, thank
smelly.
You.
We were hoping for Besser or Ehlers. Looks like you're going to get yourself Victor Arvidsson, which again, if this was, I don't know, 2019, it'd be a pretty good move.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keefe.
It's a Tier Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. Mego in for Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Quickly, before we get to the tiers today, we're going to do yard games with 4th of July barbecues, cookouts in full swing. I imagine there's going to be a lot of yard games going on. So we'll tear those off in a moment. More on the Bruins trade. We mentioned earlier this hour, Bruins swung a deal for Victor Arvidsson, who I said early in his career was like a 30-goal, 60-point guy. He had a better year than I realized, just looking over the numbers, a couple years ago with the Kings, 26 goals, 59 points. He's making $4 million AAV. It's still unknown if Edmonton's going to retain any of that salary. But Pierre LeBrun says it's pending a league call. Victor Arvidsson waived his no-movement clause. He'll go to Boston for a future mid-round draft pick. So we'll see what that ends up being. And we'll see if the Bruins are going to pay the full $4 million, which would eat into the 12 and change they have of cap space, or if Edmonton's going to retain salary, because that's a pretty big difference going into free agency at high noon. We'll talk to Bradfo coming up. But let's get to some tiers today, Mego. Yard games. We have three tiers for you. And in true Jones and Keefe fashion, the top tier of yard games we will refer to as the GOAT.
The GOAT!
Okay, so when you hear that, that is a top tier yard game. Frisky is our middle tier. That's a nice, it's not the GOAT, but it's a good little yard game you got.
Someone says, hey, you want to come over and play this?
Yeah, you're like,
can I keep a beer in one hand? All right.
Bingo. I'm not saying no. And then you have the bottom tier trash.
I think it's trash.
Okay, so that's
this is when the weird uncle comes over, and so then you go get involved in that game because you don't want that conversation.
Oh wait, it's trash. You'll actually participate in it though.
Yeah, you're not like, just like, I'm sorry, not doing that. I got to go play blank. I can't stand here and talk with you.
Okay, so those are the tiers. We have a bunch of yard games to choose from. Feel free to submit any you think we miss or you want us to discuss on the text line, Twitch, and at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram as well. Billy, what's our first yard game?
First up, cornhole.
Okay, now, is it too simplistic to just pop that right on the top tier, Mego?
You're not going to like this.
Oh, no.
I have it at Frisky.
Okay.
I think cornhole has gotten to the point where it's so oversaturated. Like, before there was pickleball, where people think that they're athletic playing it, there was cornhole. And every bar thought that they became cool for having an outdoor space where you could play cornhole. There was a time when cornhole was more pure. It was kind of like...
yes, the purest of cornholes.
Yes, the pure cornhole experience was when you'd be at a college tailgate. Oh, cool, look, somebody painted the mascot on the cornhole boards.
Yeah.
And that was something that was different than beer pong. We've come a long way since then. Cornhole has lost a lot of its luster. The cornhole doesn't look as good as it once did.
If you're playing just like, you know, having a couple of beers, just playing for fun, good game. If you're also playing against guys who think they're semi-pro, then it gets a little too intense.
It's also a magnet for toddlers.
That's true. Kids love playing, climbing all over it,
yeah,
playing on it.
That
is trash.
You think it's trash?
Well, if there's toddlers involved.
Oh, okay. Well, that is trash.
So I put it at Frisky. Depending on the situation, the environment around the cornhole.
I'm saying GOAT. You say Frisky. Billy, break the tie.
It's Frisky.
Frisky. I've been outvoted as I normally am. Okay, what's our next game?
Can Jam.
Okay, Can Jam to me. Have you played Can Jam, Mego?
I've played Can Jam a lot on the beach. It's a little bit tougher The frisbee, I don't know. I can never get the trajectory of it.
I'm not
totally
much of a
right.
frisbee thrower myself. Yeah.
Can jam, what you like about it is that you can hold a beverage in one hand.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I like about
it. I like
it.
Slamming the frisbee, too. I like batting it down. I don't like throwing it as much because I'm not as good at it.
I would still put can jam at frisky, yeah, but I actually think, like, if somebody said, would you rather play cornhole or can jam? I think can jam gets a little bit more physical, and so I like that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And it's on the beach. Good sweat.
This would be in a yard. We're talking yard games.
Well, that's
right?
True. That's a good point. It's a yard game. It's not a beach game.
Because when we
good
get
point.
To some of these other games, they're very different between the beach and the yard.
Okay. I agree. We agree on this one. Can jam is a frisky game. Next up, Billy.
Spike ball.
Okay, so I'll go out in front on this. I think spike ball's trash. I know people like it.
I love spike ball.
So this might be why I don't like it. People get a little too into it. Defend your game over
reaction?
There.
That reaction?
Yes.
What? I just like that it's what can I say besides it's super fun. And you can like, I like any game where you can literally spike it. And this will go into another one where you can like destroy somebody else and make them look silly.
Okay.
That's my kind of game.
So I say trash. Where is it?
I say goat.
Goat?
Yeah.
Billy?
I love spike ball.
If it's between trash and the goat, I'm taking trash.
Trash.
Oh, okay. I've been overruled.
Yeah,
I feel like this is saying more about you that you don't like spike ball, something about your athletic prowess.
No, it definitely does. You're not wrong about that. What else do we have, Billy?
Wiffle ball.
Ooh, wiffle ball is
the goat!
Probably goat.
Wiffle ball's goat.
Goat game.
Wiffle ball's goat, especially if wiffle ball devolves into dizzy bat. If through the wiffle ball game, you start going, let's spice this up, and you get into a dizzy bat situation.
We thought about including some drinking games in this. We decided not to. That's really probably its own
tiers.
Did
you get legal involved?
No, we did not. Unfortunately, I think Greg has them tied up right now. So, no, we haven't gotten legal involved. Maybe we would have. But, yeah, we thought about plugging drinking games in. But wiffle ball, the upside of it turning into dizzy bat makes it even better. That's a goat game.
That's an obvious goat.
Okay, Billy?
Horseshoes.
Goat.
Trash. Total trash.
I only play. This is true. I only play horseshoes on the 4th of July. I think it's the only time of year I even play it.
This is like a
sick brag.
You play horseshoes on Thanksgiving, nerd?
No, my family, they've had a family horseshoe tournament on the 4th of July for decades, going back to even before I was born, probably.
You say, does this go back to, like, the turn of the century?
Maybe. And so I love horseshoes. But okay, Billy, it's either trash or goat. Why is it trash, Mego?
I just can't even remember the last time I played it. Well, I remember when we moved into the house I grew up in, there was like a little horseshoe setup in the backyard.
Grew up with a horseshoe pit?
Yeah, horseshoe pit.
Man, jealous.
And my dad probably maintained it for, I don't know, three or 4 years. And then we gave it up.
Billy?
It's a goat.
Goat!
What I do love, though, is that you guys, when you disagree, it's complete ends of the spectrum. So it's not like I have to pick between one and two.
Right,
it's like one and
some
three.
Some people would have thought that would have made for a great show.
That's true. That's a good point. What else do we have, Billy?
Holy board.
Okay, no offense. I had never heard of this game until Billy showed it to us. I've not played it. Since I haven't played it, I'm going to default to trash. That's my stance on this. Where would you vote?
So Billy was showing me pictures of it, and I said, isn't that called washers?
So I've played a similar game. Yeah, the ones you were showing me were like these giant rings almost.
Yeah, they're giant washers.
I played the one but like a smaller washer. I actually have played that before. That's the same game?
I believe
it's the same scoring, like 1, 2, and 5 points, or 1, 3, and 5 points, maybe.
Horseshoes-esque scoring.
It's pretty trash. I agree with you
on this one. Yeah, it's like cornhole scoring, you know what I mean? Like, you toss it, I can cancel out your points type thing.
Okay. It looks redneck to me. It screams redneck. It's like one step away from throwing an axe at a stump. Have you ever played that game?
It's not really a game. You mean like axe throwing? Like go to like an axe throwing bar? Yeah.
No, like a little, maybe not an axe, a hatchet, and you try to hit the stump. You're from Vermont. Don't give me that look.
Sounds more redneck than anything.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you don't like redneck games? You throw the hatchet at the stump?
Holy board is one step above hit the stump with the hatchet. It's one step above.
Hatchet stump. That did not make our cut. Okay. Well, no offense to Billy's suggestion there.
But that's trash.
That's trash. I'm sorry. What else do we have?
Bocce.
I also feel like...
Trash.
No.
What?
No. Trash. Trash city.
First of all, you're being against my culture.
Anti-Italian.
You're being anti-Italian.
Yeah.
You're being anti-Italian.
Okay, so defend bocce. Would you put it?
So this is what I would say. As a yard game, bocce may be frisky. As a beach game, bocce's goat. Bocce on the beach.
These are yard games.
I know. So I'm saying, but I need to include that because people will think of bocce in the beach setting in which it is super fun. And a yard game, it's just frisky.
Okay,
it's
Billy,
just average.
Is it trash or is it frisky? Bocce ball.
Frisky.
Yeah.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. I'm a notorious half of me. I hate myself and I'm very anti-Italian.
Somewhere, Arcan is shaking his fist at you, but he's making the little pinched fingers motion.
The Salt Bay is what he's doing. Arcan grew up.
Hey, come on.
When he wasn't playing stickball in the North End, he was playing bocce on the dirt courts.
He actually did. Yeah, they have the bocce courts in the North End.
I'm sure he did. What else do we have, Billy?
Croquet.
It's trash.
No. That's wrong. Where would you put croquet?
Croquet is the goatest of goats.
No, well, that's
croquet
too high.
That doesn't work. I was going to make it something with the goat, but it's croquet.
Okay. I would say croquet is frisky.
Croquet is the goat of goat. I know that makes me seem like a basic waspy person.
Yeah, but
croquet is so fun. You get to poison other people's shots. Like, I like games where you can basically...
You block their ball?
You basically can hold yours and hit it so that their ball goes out of bounds and they have to go back and restart whatever.
I'll go frisky.
Like hitting somebody's ball in mini golf?
Kind of, yeah.
Wait, with your own ball, though?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant just like winding up and hitting somebody's
ball. I like games where you can sabotage the opponent.
Got it.
And croquet, a lot of it is sabotaging the opponent.
Okay.
Why is it trash, Billy?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, he didn't say
it. Who said it?
That was Nick who said
Nick,
that.
Nick, why is it trash?
It just seems like a bougie game.
Yeah.
It's not, though.
It does feel like you need to play with like a sweater around your shoulders.
Look, I like a good country club sport. I like golf. I like tennis. I like a good country club sport.
If a country club offered croquet, I would join it.
I like a waspy sport. I'm not. That's not why. But I would put it frisky. Billy, break the tie. Frisky,
I'm fine
goat.
With frisky.
Frisky. Croquet is not the goatest of the goat. It is frisky on this show.
I quit this.
What else do we have?
With football and horseshoes, you old men.
I can't believe cornhole's not up there. What else?
Ladder toss.
Okay, ladder toss I would say is trash.
Ladder toss is pretty trash. Okay.
You're about to defend it.
Ladder, I remember, because I was thinking back, the only time I enjoyed ladder toss, I was really drunk on the 4th of July.
Yeah, nice.
And that's the only time that it was good to me.
Okay, ladder toss, trash, agree. What's next, Bill?
Badminton.
Badminton is from a different century.
It's trash.
What?
That's ridiculous. That game is ridiculous.
I would argue goat.
Badminton is from like the 1600s.
Let me tell you.
Why is it still around?
If you think
because you're a tennis nerd.
If you think I was a machine at pickleball, Mego, and I know you do, you should see me on a badminton court. I'm a magician on a badminton
sick
court.
Brag,
yeah, that is a sick brag, and I mean it.
Badminton is made for medieval times. Why did that sport continue existing jousting went by the wayside?
Why is it not one of the number one sports in America? I don't know. It's a great question.
Jousting should be around and badminton should be gone.
Badminton, I argue goat. Billy, where are we putting it?
Wait, so it's between goat and
goat
trash?
Goat and trash. Those are your options.
It's trash.
Yes! I win again. We don't have many goats.
No. Well, I'd say, you know, it's an exclusive tier, although we do have a couple more games.
Are we just lazy
small
at barbecues?
Yeah, we're small. It's a small hall show. Billy's
okay,
right.
Okay.
I think we have a couple more. What do we have, Bill?
Volleyball.
Volleyball is
goat.
Good. Okay, good.
We agree on that. I love volleyball.
One of my greatest athletic achievements in high school was blocking my buddy in volleyball. Just sky.
Sick brag.
You did the cornet contest?
Making him eat that volleyball, and I still talk about it to this day. One of my finer athletic achievements
in life. Shime was part of the inaugural volleyball team at BC High. He's very proud of that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's talking about
another,
it a lot.
Is this like another Shime I could crawl across the greasy pole? I could beat Greg in the match?
No,
is it another
one
of those?
No, this is something that he actually did, though.
Okay.
Right. He's not just talking about what shorts? You will do.
What was it again?
Do we have Shime in those little shorts?
Yeah, nice. Speaking of nice. Okay, so volleyball goat, we agree. What's last?
A sprinkler.
Oh, like running through a sprinkler.
Just running through a sprinkler.
In the yard? It's at least frisky.
Yep, just a classic fan sprinkler.
That's
at least frisky.
That's not a game.
Yeah, it is.
Sprinkler.
Yeah, go cool.
Sprinkler is not sprinkler's not a lawn game. It's not even slip and slide. It's just sprinkler.
Sprinkler or a crocodile mile.
Yeah, it's a yard
thing to do. That's like Barbie, my job is beach. If you went to a barbecue and the only thing that they had for entertainment was sprinkler, that's trash.
Mego, I don't make the list. I have Billy read them off. I don't make the list here. We just have to respond to this. Sprinkler. Where are you?
Sprinkler's trash.
It's at least frisky.
It's trash.
Billy?
Oh, it's frisky.
Yes.
It is a classic backyard game.
When's the last time you ran through the sprinkler, Billy?
Yesterday. No, this weekend, I have no idea.
Definitely 4th of July. I'll be you, motoring through a sprinkler.
You run through a sprinkler in your 40s?
Arcade in the North End. They used to pop the fire hydrants and run through. That's what Arcade used to do after a good game of stickball.
Then the sun goes down. That's when the barrel fires and doo-wop comes out.
Okay, we have our tiers. These are non-negotiable. Our goat tier, wiffle ball, horseshoes, volleyball. Feels pretty good. Strong tier.
Yeah.
Frisky tier, cornhole, can jam, bocce.
Anti-Italian.
Croquet, and sprinkler. I wrote sprinkle, sorry. Sprinkler.
Sprinkler is not a game.
Great tier. Tremendous. Borderline perfect tier. Trash tier, spike ball, holy board, ladder toss, badminton. You can play along. We'll get those tiers up shortly at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. If you missed any games, feel free to submit. Text line 617-779-7937. Twitter and Instagram again, Jones and Keefe, and in the Twitch chat. I'm sure they're giving a lot of suggestions as they always do there as well. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. We will continue with this and get you all the latest approaching NHL free agency and NBA free agency. A lot happening out there. We'll catch you up to speed next.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got Mego in for Keefe. Tiers are up at Jones and Keefe, or will be shortly, I should say. We finalized tiers for our yard games, which includes the wildly popular sprinkler. A lot of feedback on this. Our guy Dice says badminton should be called goodmitten because it's a good time. He says agreed. Goat. Scheim also texted me. Not only was he part of the inaugural volleyball team at BC High, also a fan of badminton. How about that, Mego? How about that?
It's
at least three
fan
people
of
that like it.
The original name.
What was that again? You were telling me this.
Because I was trying to look up when was badminton invented, because that feels like such an old-timey game. This is from an AI overview, so...
Yeah, count it.
You know.
Gemini.
Take this with whatever grain of salt you might want to. It was created by British Army officers stationed in India during the 1860s, and they called it Puna.
I'm sorry?
It was called Puna.
Dump that.
Watch your profanity.
So next time that you're trying to suggest that particular long game, you say, anybody up for some Puna?
And then you say, no, 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 no. I meant badminton.
Come on.
Bunch of texts, by the way. Oh, I can't believe you guys forgot lawn darts. I can't believe you guys forgot Polish horseshoes. We thought about all of these. Now, maybe we should have had them on the list, but those are two that we thought of. I would say the biggest omission, at least in the listener's feeling, is lawn darts. We got a lot of lawn dart submission. You like this one, Mego. I don't even know the name of this game. The ring on the string that you try to get on the hook.
I love that.
But is that...
Nobody... We just call it the ring game.
But you can play that anywhere. You can play that inside. You can play that outside. You can play that in a yard.
Yeah, you can play that at a... But the best situation is in a yard. When somebody nails the hook to the trunk of a tree and then, like, you know, puts up their own string and ring, and that's the best. That is the best.
Nothing better.
You can lose 2 hours that way. Like, that is... Again, I think there's something... That is very close to throwing the hatchet at the stump in the yard. But yeah, again, I like that.
I was not familiar with that game. That is a game
if
that
we're talking about sprinkler, we should have had the ring game.
I mean, that's a frisky game is what we're talking about. So check those out. They'll be up shortly at Jones and Keefe. We'll continue with your feedback here. Meantime, NHL free agency is a little over 5 minutes away from being fully underway. Bruins have been somewhat active to this point. They dealt for Victor Arvidsson of the Edmonton Oilers, formerly of the Kings, and early in his career when he was actually a player. Nashville. The Bruins traded a fifth-round pick in 2027, so they gave up nothing for him. They are, however, and that's according to Elliot Friedman, they are, however, retaining the full salary.
Ooh, that's the cost.
Edmonton will not be eating any of the salary. I'm trying to find the tweet here. I think it was Chris Johnston.
So this is a little troubling because they only have about $13 million in cap space. I say only, but they have a lot of needs to fill.
Yeah, and this
so
is,
you're wondering, is this the kind of contract they're going to hand out or the kind of price that they're going to be looking to pay on a couple guys?
Well, one of two things. So, again, Chris Johnston, just to close the loop, said the Oilers are shedding the entire salary, $4 million cap hit. Bruins are eating the whole thing, no salary retained. So they go from 12.8 in cap space down to 8.8 in cap space, so a little under 9, as you just said. Maybe he's, we called him a fourth liner earlier, like maybe that's too harsh. Maybe he's like a middle six player for you, second, third line.
Second line, okay.
But is he, if he's playing in your top six, I would say you're not in a great spot. If he's on your third line, fine. They still have money to make a move, but I think after this signing, you can kiss Brock Besser and Nikola Ehlers and guys like that. You can kiss them goodbye. Those are the top two guys out there. They're wings that could have fit in your top six. I'd imagine without another move or another shoe to drop, those guys are gone after this.
And then it kind of makes you re-examine, okay, what are the expectations for the team this year? If you're not going out for one of those guys, and again, the situation that you're going to be in free agency, you're going to have to overpay for one of those guys. But that's the situation that you're in, and that's what you knew going into this offseason. So taking a little air out of the balloon.
No, for sure. Celtics, meanwhile, have still done nothing. The East has gotten more difficult, at least in the eyes of... Well, some of the betting markets out there. My guy John Ewing over at BetMGM, after the Bucks signed Miles Turner, their championship odds, not to win the East, their championship odds skyrocketed. They were plus 10,000 before the Turner signing. They're now up to plus 4,000. And I think the read on that isn't they're that much better off without Turner. It's that now the Bucks are going to be keeping Giannis, is the feeling. He's not going anywhere. So that's another team you got to deal with in the East. And we're talking about the Celtics' expectations. The Bucks are going to be a lot more difficult with Giannis there than without him. They also waived Lillard earlier today. Some more news to get to in the NBA and NHL. Both free agencies will be underway just a few moments from now. NBA started last night. NHL opens up at high noon. We'll check in with Rob Bradford, WEEI, and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast next.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!